Last time, we did Rabbi Kiva's drasha on the phrase Oshlosha. Why does the Torah specify that you could have two or three witnesses? His point was that it doesn't matter how many witnesses you have. You might have 100 witnesses, but if one of them turns out to be an invalid witness for any reason, then the testimony of the entire group, the entire cut, is discounted. The rest of this Mishnah is three different qualifications on Rabbi Akiva's rule. The first is from one of his primary students, Rabbi Yossi. He says, "Bamed or emomurim." What does this apply to? This always limits the case in the Mishnah, always limits the previous case. So when does this rule apply that if one of the witnesses is invalid, then the entire group of witnesses is discounted? It applies b'dinei nefashot, in capital cases, in cases where somebody's life is on the line. Aval b'dinei mamonot titkayem ha'edut bashar. But in monetary cases where it's only money on the line, actually, this rule doesn't apply. If one of the witnesses turns out to be invalid, but you have a group of five witnesses, you can rely on the other four and you can just discount the one invalid one. Rabbi Yossi just seems to be giving voice to the idea that the stakes of witnesses in monetary cases are so much lower than the stakes for witnesses in capital cases. And we're going to see a little bit more about witnesses in capital cases in the next mission, in the next episode. The next qualification is from the major teacher of the following generation after Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi, or Rebbe, and he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi's distinction. He thinks actually there is no distinction between dine nefashot and dine mamonot, between the capital and the monetary cases. The same rule applies that if one of the witnesses is invalid for any reason, then the entire group of witnesses is invalid. Rebbe Omer, echad dine mamonot ve'echad dine nefashot, actually applies both ways. Okay, that seems to be the end of Rebbe according to me. There are other people who will tell you that Rebbe continues in the next line, but I think my best sense is that the next line is a new anonymous interpretation of the rule that we're still discussing. So we've had two interpretations of Rabbi Kiva's rule. The first one is it only applies to nefashot, and the second one is actually it applies to both. And now we have a third limitation on the rule, independent of the other two. This third interpretation is definitely the most difficult part of this Mishnah, and I'm honestly not 100% sure I totally understand it, but I'll give you the best sense that I got from a modern commentary called Mishnat Eretz Yisrael, by various people with the surname Safrai. And even though Hatra'ah, to warn, has a specific technical meaning, which is going to come up in the next Mishnah, they suggest that maybe the word Hatra'ah here doesn't mean something technical in a second, when I read the word Hitru. It doesn't mean something technical, it means something sort of more informal. But either way, the linguistic link, this sort of links us to the next Mishnah, with the use of the word Hatra'ah, of Hitru, of to warn, which will become important in the next episode. So the third qualification here, after Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe, the third qualification of Rabbi Akiva's rule, is Bizman Sheitru Bahen. That situation that if one of the witnesses is invalid, or a relative of one of the others, that then all of the witness testimony is discounted, that applies only when Shehitru, when they warned that the judges warned the witnesses. They warned them that if one of them was Pasul or Karov, that if one of them was invalid or relative, then the entire group of witnesses will be made invalid. So it actually discounts everyone else's testimony. So if they've warned them of that, then anyone who remains after that warning will indeed discount the testimony of everybody else. Aval, but Bizman Shelo Hidru Bahen, but if the court never said anything about that, never mentioned the idea of the Pasul or Karov to the bunch of Adim, then the case can actually proceed. Because, says the Mishnah, Maya Asu Shnei Achin Shera'u Bechad Sheragat HaNefesh. What are two brothers supposed to do that saw somebody kill somebody else? Well, if you have three people who saw that murder and two of them happen to be brothers, we should allow one of the brothers to join with the non-brother to make a kosher group of witnesses and not let this murderer off the hook on a technicality. So that's my sense of what the Mishnah means here, using Hatra'ah not in a more technical sense of the warning of the witnesses to the guy about to murder somebody. That use of the Hatra'ah will come in the next Mishnah, especially because of the way the Mishnah says this, Shehitru Bahen, that they have to warn a plural group. The only other plural group here, except for the judges, is the witnesses. So it seems like this is the judges talking to the witnesses. If it was about the perpetrator, it would be Shehitru Bo, that they warned him. So that's my best explanation, even though it's a little bit strange, and honestly the mission is very difficult. We'll be back in the next episode with more cases about the laws of witnesses and how Hatra'ah, the requirement for warning the perpetrator they're about to commit a sin, fits with the laws of Edom Zomimin.